and welcome to the Lone Star Podcast for Monday, June 29th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital. Made the journey from Saratoga across the mountains of Vermont and New Hampshire and have ended up in Maine, the cabin, more of a compound, in western Maine, where Susan's family has come for many, many years. And I am in a... contraband isn't the right word, but I'm in a location where I'm technically not supposed to be. I'm in my in-law's bedroom. Please don't tell them that I took this opportunity to find the quietest spot in the house to do these recordings. And let's just hope they're not watching Sky Sports Racing on Saturday night, or I could be in big trouble. But happy to be here and happy to be joined, as ever, on these Lone Star Podcasts. Everybody's favorite Texas bred. He's the people's champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's going on in the great state of Texas, JK?
Well, it's a tricky question you asked there, Pete. Nothing great, I would say, going on in the great state at the moment. But, you know, that's all right. I think we had our all-time high yesterday, or days ago, for cases here in the great state, and in Austin specifically. So... outside of that, everything's good. You know, what's funny is one of my favorite comedians is a guy by the name of Theo Von. He has this hilarious podcast. I'm a big fan. I got a notification right before we jumped off and it said Theo Von on Maine. So it's this whole rant he'll do about Maine, and he does these things and it's so funny. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm looking forward to sending it to you to see if there's any accuracy, to some of his silliness about Maine. So I'll send it to you when we get done.
I'd love to read it. Now, Maine's a very complicated state, right? You've got Portland, which is just an unbelievable city where I feel incredibly at home and people are very welcoming. And then there's pockets. I mean, one of the great beer bars in the world is a mile or two, maybe 2 miles from where I sit right now. Ebenezer's Pub. Wonderful. Never had any incidents in there. But I will say that the locals, not necessarily the friendliest of people at the best of times, let alone in the middle of a pandemic. So I took the approach, we're just going to basically quarantine here at the lake. I don't want to really go out in the world. We brought all the groceries with us. I've got a little bullet smoker here. I'm going to just make food and study form, bet horses, and do podcasts with you all week, JK, and avoid any entanglements with the locals. We do have Vermont plates on the rental we took up here, which did make me feel a little bit better, but a very strange tangent to start. I suggest that you, my friend, get yourself to Saratoga as quickly as possible. Is that visit still in the cards this summer?
I think so. Yeah, I'm clear, though, by the way. Waiver. So I'm good. I'm good on the lockdown, but it doesn't matter. I've been beyond responsible. I've been at the house chilling since March. So, I don't feel guilty that I'm doing something, shady to put people in the Northeast in jeopardy.
We will welcome you with open socially distanced arms, my friend, virtual hugs only, but we'll be very, very happy to see you. We're also very happy to have a couple of days racing at Lone Star. I got in a tweet conversation this weekend. I feel like one of the great lessons for racing in the pandemic is about the idea of trying to command the public's attention when other places are not. And nobody's done a better job of that than Lone Star. I've been very pleased by the download numbers on these shows and by just the amount of interaction we've had, private messages, public messages, people paying attention, joining us for the double, and then sticking around for the rest of the card. That's going to be a big part of my next 2 days as well here. I should point out, I think I tweeted that there was a Wednesday card this week. There is not, which means, Brandon, if you're listening, we will owe you a podcast at some point. But believe me, we will make it up to you somewhere along the line. I thought about, ooh, yesterday with the stakes could have been a fun day to do it, but it was a travel day for me. We will get some extra Lone Star content out there. But right now, we're going to dive into this early double on Monday. And we kick things off with a 3-and-up non-winner of 2 lifetime claiming race going 1 mile on the turf. Looks pretty certain, fingers crossed, unless I missed some weather that happened last night, that we will be racing on the turf today. Timeform US predicts a swift pace in this one. I'll let you kick it off, JK. What do you think is going to happen in the first at Lone Star today?
Yeah, I only needed two in here, and I'm going to kind of press one of them. The one that I'll press is the three Fred's Twirling Candy. For Gustafson, this horse is just looks good on figures. The trainer's winning at 38% of the meet. He's 10 for 26 at the meet. Watch out, Steve Asmussen. And, you know, he's just kind of got those numbers that I like. He's got a nice final time. It seems he seemed to quicken up at the right time. He's tactical enough to stay close. And he's second off of a layoff. So there's opportunity for an improvement there. And so especially for a trainer whose numbers, you know, improved slightly second off a layoff. So I thought this horse was the key horse you wanted. He's down in the two hole because of the entry. So he should be able to work out a nice pocket trip from there as a tactical horse. So he's the most likely winner for me. And then the four, Moorhawk, is interesting because it's a Broberg claim off of Gustafson, who I think is interesting. He dropped this horse. This horse is an allowance horse. He dropped him in for 15. Broberg took him and now stretches him out. And so I felt like Broberg claiming and then coming up in level and then kind of changing what this one was doing was interesting as well. And if you look at the back numbers for Moorhawk, makes ton of sense that this one could be competitive versus the former stablemate and Fred's Twirling Candy. I'm against the nine Robinson. The horse won, you know, maiden 30 back in February and then shows up here facing winners for the first time. He was also a horse that was involved in some of that funny business that went down for Joe Sharp with the positive test. I'll pass.
I'm with you in being against the nine. I'm with you in pressing Fred's Twirling Candy. Not a lot to add other than I just like the trip that this one's going to get too. Should be able to secure position early, plenty of finish to take advantage of the probable pace scenario as described by Timeform. Two others I just want to ask your opinion on really quickly. I could even single Fred's Twirling Candy, though I do like your Moorhawk case and fully understand that. If the pace does hold together, number six, Bring Me a Check, does seem the best probable speed. Turf ability, complete unknown. This would be one that I would use if a price and would fade if bet. Do you just totally oppose the six? I'm just curious.
I think so. I mean, the horse has had plenty of opportunities. He's ran at Indiana, Keeneland, Churchill, Fairgrounds, and Sam Houston. All of those places have turf courses, and this is the first time he's getting on the turf. It just feels like this is what showed up in the book. The horse needed to run. They wanted to drop for a tag. It just didn't seem like an encouraging thing. And plus, I'm boycotting all the fast Annas because of the name situation. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm really not doing that. But you know what's funny is it got me. Wolfie did me dirty yesterday. Greg Wolfe, he said there's a chasing Anna, I think was the horse's name, that ran in the first leg of that pick six carryover or mandatory payout at Churchill. And he kind of set me up. He goes, I know you struggle with these. And I said, I know. I said, I'm going to stumble in this. And I called her she. I just did it again. I called him she seven times in the thing. And I was trying hard not to. It's unbelievable.
I think you just got to you know, you might have to go just with the pronoun they. You could be, JK, you could be super woke on Fox and just use they for any fast Anna.
I want to name a fast Anna, Anna, not a she.
But it has to be a filly just to really mess things up.
The Jockey Club probably wouldn't approve that in this day and age, because I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying I just need to know that it just throws me off.
It throws off commentators left and right. One other to ask you about. I'm with you. I'm just saying if Bring Me a Check is double digit odds, I probably wouldn't be able to resist. In the double, it's so easy to put in a couple of bucks as a saver, you know, so that's why I'll mention more sometimes when we're doing a double show than if we're doing a pick five show where you add a horse and it just costs so much money, it becomes completely impractical. Number two, Cairo King, I thought had some obvious attributes, speed to get position, ground saving trip, has shown the ability to pass. You can you see that one if you squint?
Chad Brown at Saratoga, Todd Pletcher at Gulfstream, Chad Brown at Gulfstream too. You know, Bob Baffert at Santa Anita and Del Mar and Steve Asmussen at Lone Star. If you can beat them, there's an opportunity to make money. I need them to be absolute gorillas for me to use them or to single them. Otherwise, if there's any questions or, well, I wonder if, maybe if, or maybe that one, or could be, I just toss him because that's the only way you're going to make money. Because catching Cairo King in this sequence with using, you're not making any money. You're just risking extra money to essentially go in a circle with yourself. So that's kind of my approach when it comes to Asmussen at Lone Star.
It's a great segue into our second race, actually, which is 3 and up claimers, 7,500, never won 3 6-furlongs on the dirt. This is an Asmussen I think I need. Number 8, Front Page, ran a good figure on turf against better. 2 back was buried on a rail that didn't seem like the place to be, and has one of those old school handicapping angles that I like a lot in lower level claiming races, the racing at a new low level. I was having trouble seeing past the 8, who I think also could get an okay trip. How did you want to close out this early double, though?
Yeah, same thing for me. I didn't need the 8. I just wanted the 3 and the 9. I thought the 3 was interesting because of the, if you look at like Timeform US or whatever, and if you look at kind of that third pace figure, right, cutting back from 7 to 6, so that third pace figure, which is right around the 6-furlong mark, that horse was running very fast and just started slowing down. It was actually faster than the final times of the 1, the 2, and some of the other horses. And so I felt like the cutback is going to help with fitness, but also at that point of the race going 7, this horse would be extremely competitive here. He's drawn outside of those other two speeds on the inside, the 1 and the 2, and he's 12-1 on the morning line. And Ingrid Mason wins races, you know, and she's dangerous at Oaklawn. And I would imagine she can, you know, she's not striking at a huge rate here at Lone Star, but I still, you know, she's very capable. And so I wanted the 3 at a price. And then the 9, Uncork Humor, is another one who, you know, in these races, when they're going 5.5, 6, whatever it might be, I'm looking for outside speed that is fast. And I just felt like Uncorked Humor was the farthest drawn speed, who had some nice pace figures, had some nice final time figures. And I felt like this one was going to have a big edge. And Front Page, I didn't need, and I didn't need the 1 or the 2 either. So I'm just going to go with the 3 and the 9.
I can see the 9 as lone speed, but I want you to tell me why you don't like the 8, since I just made such a passionate case for the horse.
I mean, basically the same reason is like, there's just questions there. You know, he was on the turf last time, showed 0 speed on the turf going longer, wasn't involved at all there. And then even the race, he was 2 turns going at Houston and at Oaklawn. He was horrible. It just feels like this horse continues to drop, and everything that he's tried to do as of late is different than what he's trying now. He tried long on the dirt, didn't work, tried long on the turf, didn't work. Steve Asmussen's not the type of guy that's like, that just missed the mark on this horse. And all along he was going to be better going 6 furlongs on the dirt. And that's enough questions for me. You know, like I brought up earlier that I'm, you know, if you can fade him at Lone Star, there's an opportunity to make money. So that's why I'm fading.
Fair enough. So let's talk about what your doubles will look like. I'm very interested in playing the 3. You have not talked me off the 8. I'm looking at basically a 3 with 8, 9 in the double on later today, Monday. How would you allocate your 100?
I would do $30. This is just off the dome. I would go $30 double with the 3 with 3, 9. And then I would do a $20 double, 4 with 3, 9.
JK tries math, succeeds. And that's
a good
way as any to wrap up this edition of the Lone Star Podcast. Thank you, JK. Thanks to our friends at Lone Star and everybody else for tuning into these shows. We will see you tomorrow. May you win all your photos.